And bow with me, please. Our Father, thank you for this blessing to fellowship together. And now to come to your word, we pray that you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've changed my text and topic from what is in the bulletin to this: describable characteristics of an indescribably beautiful wife. I'd like you to notice a couple of passages of Scripture as we begin. If you will take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis, I would like to introduce this Scripture in the book of Proverbs. And we'll be looking at several texts in the book of Wisdom in the Proverbs. But first of all, I want you to notice what we see here in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God's creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." You know, in Genesis 1:28, we have the first commandment in the Bible: be fruitful and multiply, said to Adam and to Eve. And notice in chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Notice in chapter 4 of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve. Genesis 3:20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. God created man. God created woman. He performed the first wedding ceremony, we might say, in the Garden of Eden. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, and Eve was the mother of all living. Now we go over to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And notice what the Word of God says here. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So here's what the Bible teaches. God created man, God created woman, God created marriage. And from that union there are to be children. As Eve is the mother of all living beings, and as Adam is our great, 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 many greats, grandfather of all human beings, all of this was designed by God. So within that marriage union, there are to be offspring. God blesses marriages with children. This is God's plan. It is a beautiful thing. And today, many times, fatherhood is diminished, motherhood is decried, and even being a child is denied and decried. Now, with that backdrop, let's go to the book of wisdom in the Bible, the book of Proverbs. And the Proverbs have much to say about husband-wife relationship. They have much to say about what a woman of God should be like. And I would like us to notice some of the qualities here, the describable characteristics of an indescribably beautiful wife or woman. Notice, first of all, Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and I encourage you to follow with the notes that are there in your bulletin and to fill them in and maybe to go back and to review these later. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, a verse I like to use in weddings. Proverbs 18, 22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Literally, he who finds a wife finds good. Something that is, the Hebrew word is tov. It's good, it's beautiful, it's excellent. The one who finds a wife finds a good, a beautiful, an excellent entity from the Lord. So the first quality that I see of this describable characteristic of an indescribably beautiful woman is she is a gift from God. She is a gift from God. A gift to, from God to that husband. I like to remind grooms at a wedding that their wife is a gift from God. Now, men, I want to remind you, if you are married and you have a wife, she is a gift from God. And she's to be treated as a very special gift. We value gifts. She is a gift from God. Proverbs 18, verse 22. And this says that one who finds this wife finds a gift and obtains favor from the Lord. One is blessed who has a good wife. Adam fell asleep in the will of God, and he woke up with a wife. There's a lesson there. For you single men, seek the Lord first with all your heart and allow him to bring to you a godly wife. Listen, I celebrate marriage. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I believe in it, and I appreciate it so much. As we recognized anniversaries for this month, we have within our church one with a 42-year anniversary and a 35-year anniversary. What a tremendous blessing. It was my privilege to be present at my father-in-law and mother-in-law's 50th anniversary. And my father-in-law went to heaven in October, but on July 3rd, he celebrated his 60th anniversary before the Lord took him home. I always appreciated that example of marriage and faithfulness. And he always used to tease about his anniversary being on July 3rd. He said, "The day before Independence Day, I lost mine." And his sense of humor stayed with him his whole life and helped keep their marriage together. That's a good thing. A prudent wife is from the Lord. She is a gift from the Lord. Notice what it says in Proverbs 19 in verse 14. "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Houses and riches are from fathers. Fathers can leave to their children land and house and money and wealth. They can leave possessions to their kids. But the writer of the Proverbs, the wisdom book says, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. This is a great word, a prudent wife. It's a wife who is bright, who is prudent, who is full of understanding, who has insight, who has understanding in life. A good wife indicates God's good pleasure toward a man, God's favor, God's goodwill. A wise and understanding and insightful wife is from the Lord. She's a gift from God. We should treat our wives, men, as gifts from God that are very special, that are to be valued and prized. Do not put your wife down. Do not speak negatively about her. Even if all the guys in the shop are talking about the old lady, don't you do it. You esteem your wife and you lift her up and you honor her and you thank God for her. I remember an occasion where I was reminded of what my wife did for me in bearing children. We were involved in some construction, and we were pouring concrete, and I got some severe burns on my legs from concrete because of the lime that is in there. It's very, it can cause severe burns like a chemical burns. And I realized I was in trouble, though I felt some stinging, but when you're working, you can't stop. You got to keep at it. I got home and realized that I had some trouble with the redness on my legs. Make a long story short, ended up at the doctor's office after a couple of days, and they told me, we have to scrub your leg and get this skin off. And I wasn't looking forward to that. And there was a strong, large, red-headed nurse there, ready to take this task on. And they gave me pain medicine, and I was sure that it stopped at the knee. It didn't go any further. And so I'm on this this thing with this pain medicine. I'm on the bed with my hands clutched to the side. Never had such pain in my life. But before this, this woman looked at me, and at the time, I think we had 6 children, and she saw my wife. She said, look here, this lady knows what pain is. She's had 3 babies for you. Now you just sit there and take this. Oh. I was glad when the doctor came in and said to her, that's enough. It was awful. I thought they forgot the medical scrub pad and just were using Brillo. But she was right. This little lady has gone through a lot to bring children into our family, and I need to appreciate that and honor that. A prudent wife is a gift from God. A bright wife should be honored and thanked continuously. It's a gift from God. I personally think it should be a law. I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, somewhat not. A law for fathers to be present the birth of the children, because my respect for femininity and motherhood goes up 1,000%. It was my privilege to be there for all of our children and their births, and I praise God for the blessing of mothers and what they have gone through. And not only that, but all of life and caring for the kids. Notice the next truth I see here in Proverbs. A prudent wife, a godly wife, this describable characteristic is this. She is a builder of her household. A builder of her household. Notice Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. This is an intriguing verse. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. A wise woman builds her house. She is a builder of her household. Ladies, remember, you can construct or destruct your home, your household. You can build or tear down. This says a wise woman is going to build her house. She's going to strengthen it. She's going to make a strong foundation. She's going to build walls. She's going to decorate it. She's going to make it beautiful. She's going to fill it with beautiful and wonderful aroma. She is going to have a lovely place. And this castle is going to be a wonderful place. Even if it's a 600 square foot apartment, it is a wonderful place, and it's a place where husband and dad wants to come home to it. A wise woman builds her household. A foolish woman destroys it. She gives no attention to it. She doesn't care about it. She tears it down. Notice these scriptures, not only Proverbs 14:1, but notice Proverbs 9:1. Proverbs 9:1. This is an intriguing verse. Proverbs 9:1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. I'd like to challenge you with a thought You can ponder this through the rest of the service, through the rest of your life, because I'm still pondering it. What are the seven pillars in wisdom's house? It doesn't say here, but wisdom has built a house. She has hewn out seven pillars. What are these seven pillars in the house of wisdom? Think about that. What are seven ingredients that you can put into your house, ladies, to make it a house, not of foolishness, but of wisdom? Now notice also Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Through wisdom a house is built. Notice these qualities. Wisdom is there, understanding is there, and knowledge is there. And these things are present in this home. A wise woman building her house will have in that house wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And let me suggest to you that there's no greater wisdom or understanding or knowledge than that which comes by the Word of God. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, teach your children the Scriptures. Open the Bible to them. Don't hesitate to say, let's see what the Bible says. Don't hesitate to say, let us pray. Let's go before the Lord to pray. Thursday we were at a nursing home in Flushing with the service, and I announced that I was going to preach on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And there was a lady over to the side that got all happy. She said, oh, I love that. That's my favorite verse. Thank you, Jesus. And she started quoting it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. I remember so well this occasion. I was changing the oil in my mom's car. And I couldn't get the oil filter off. I guess I should say I was attempting to change the oil. I couldn't get the oil filter loose. And I guess mom thought it was taking too long. And she came out. I still remember this. I can see this as if it were yesterday. She got down on all fours on the other side of the car, and she's looking under the car, and I'm there on my back under the car, and she's looking under that. She said, son, is everything all right? I said, Mom, I can't get this oil filter off. She said, well, let's pray. And there she is on her knees. She prays. It wasn't long, the oil filter came off. You know, she had taught me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And she illustrated that trust even like that. A little thing like changing the oil. That's an example of someone building her household with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge. Moms, don't hesitate to say, let's pray, kids. Amen. Don't hesitate to point them in the trials of life to the Word of God. We had a watchword, a flag, a banner that mom would raise over and over and over in the trials of our life and our family. And she would say, well, Romans 8:28. And we knew what it meant because she had taught it to us. All things work together for good to those who love God. To them are the called according to His purpose. And some trial would come and mom would say, well, Romans 8:28. That's building a house with wisdom, with understanding, and with knowledge. Be a builder of the household. She is intentional about building and developing her family. Intentional. Whose responsibility is the upbringing of our children? Whose primary responsibility? It's primarily the responsibility of father and mother. And if father is not present for some reason, then mothers take up the slack. It is not the government's responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not primarily the church's responsibility. The church can have a part and should have a part, and my passion is to pass the baton of truth to the next generation. Absolutely. But where should it all start? In the home. I just heard statistics about all that was going on in Baltimore, about how many youth in Baltimore and other big cities, Detroit's another one, probably New York's another one, how many grew up with only one parent? Some grew up with no parents. Listen, here's the call for the church to go back to the Bible and say the Bible establishes father and mother in the home with children there to invest in them, to build the household. I am so thankful that though my father was not present, my mother took the truth of the Word of God and taught us through thick and thin, through trials, through ups and downs. Moms, I know it gets hard at times, but be intentional about building and developing your family. Don't give up. And if the kids are gone and the grandkids are away, you don't see them very often, guess what? You can pray. And it's not just pray. Prayer is so important. You have to be intentional, though. Have a prayer list. Have all those kids and grandkids on there. This woman is a source of strength, an example of diligence. The wise woman is building her house. It's intentional. And so she exerts strength and energy, and she guards against the home being destroyed. There are influences that come into our homes that we would never allow into the front door. There are murders. There are adulterers. There are rapists. There are thieves. There are drug users. There are all kinds of evil speaking people that come into our houses, and if they were to stand at the front door and say, "May I come in?" we would say, "Absolutely not." But they come in, you know how? Television, internet, radio, and they flood the homes of people all over this nation, even the homes of Christians. She guards against the home being destroyed. There is destruction all around, and so we have to be intentional to say certain things aren't going to come through the front door. They're not going to come through the cables that are connected to our house. She guards against the home being destroyed. What are some other destructive things that can come into the house? Put downs. Put downs. Did God give you children to put them down? They need to be corrected. They need to be disciplined. They don't need to be abused. Discipline is biblical. Abuse is not. Put downs, name calling, striking children in the face. No, that's not what God wants. That's destructive. Blow ups, anger, contentions, gossip, expectations that are too high. You don't tell a 3-year-old to take out the 100-pound trash. High expectations too high. And listen, if your child is a B-minus student, don't get all over them if they don't come home with A+. Yes, strive for the best, but perhaps they're doing their absolute best and it's a B-minus. They're not to be beat up over that. Put downs, expectations that are unreasonable, that tears down a house. But what builds it up? An atmosphere of spiritual edification, of positive encouragement, godly music in the home that's edifying, that strengthens, that builds, prayer, scripture. And this is not carnal. You know something that is a great thing to have in your house? Is humor. Listen, if we can't laugh about things, and even each other, if we can't enjoy some humor, I think we're missing one of God's wonderful gifts. I appreciated that. You remember in the fall, I had fallen, had this banged place on my head. I saw my father-in-law the night before he went to heaven. And we prayed and we had scripture together. But the first thing he said to me when he saw me was, "I understand you've been using your head." To the night before he died, he had a sense of humor. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a sense of humor. It's good to laugh. If you can find a clean joke book, some riddles, other things, that's a positive way to build your household. Let me suggest this. What about having some meals together as opposed to this? Everybody gets their plate, goes to the microwave, and goes to their room with their TV or their internet or whatever, and nobody sits down around the same table together. It is a great thing, and secular studies show the benefits of eating a meal together. Did you know that? Yes. of the value of a family sitting together around a table, eating together, talking together, having some jokes together. That is a wonderful thing to do. Oh, that's one of the reasons I love church dinners. A time to be together, to fellowship, to be able to sit across the table from someone else. That needs to be in the home. That's part of building the household. A describable characteristic of indescribably beautiful wife and woman and mother. She's a builder of her household. Notice this. She builds with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Those key ingredients. Now, what's the next thing? She is a total complement to her husband. God established marriage. It was His idea. He created the marriage relationship. Notice what Proverbs 12:4 says. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent, a virtuous wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Have you ever been out on the sidewalk and somebody walks by and they're just ranting into their phone? And at first you wonder who they're talking to, and then you see that they're connected somehow to their phone, or they have their earbuds in or something, and they're talking and they're ranting, and you know who they're talking to, but you think there's some kind of relationship involved here, and they're just going off at someone. And what is going on? What's wrong here? Well, let's just assume that some of those people are married. Let's assume that here it's a wife who's just ranting about or to her husband. She fits into this category in the last part. She who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. That can work the other way too with men toward women. That's not being a compliment. Here's what this one does, this godly woman. She is a crown. Look at Proverbs 31. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 23. We read this text this morning. Proverbs 31 is the chapter about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 verse 23. Notice this. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You see, in that day, town business, the city hall was at the city gates. And the husband of the virtuous woman is at the gates. He is known there. He is respected there. He's appreciated there. How did he get there? Because there was a great woman in his life, a virtuous woman, and also certainly the blessing of God. This woman, this describable characteristic, she makes him proud and not ashamed. She's like a crown. It shows something of respect and of appreciation. She's a crown to her husband. He's not ashamed of her. He appreciates her. She graces his life with joy and honor, and with encouragement, and with laughter. Now, don't ask her to do it for you, but since we have first been married, my wife has a form of humor that always makes me just crack up. And it's like Red Skelton, you know, it's mimicry. Now, please don't be offended. And any song leaders here, please don't be offended. But over the years, we have noticed various kinds of song leaders in churches and Christian gatherings who make various kinds of motions. And my wife imitates these. And I'll just give you two of them, all right? One of them is the one that's flying like an eagle as if he's in Carnegie Hall and the audience is rather small, something less than Carnegie Hall. Another one is the fellow who's shooting at us, who directs with the gun and we're wondering what to do. And that's all. I won't go into any other, and I'm not here to offend anybody about that, but somehow she starts under this humor, and it's very enjoyable to me. Another one, it's great to laugh together. We're not laughing at someone's expense. We're just enjoying various things of life. Sometimes it's showing the obvious things about each other. Has anybody ever heard of Tony Fontaine? He was a singer many years ago, and he was in Las Vegas. He grew up in a Christian home. God got a hold of his heart. He had a car accident. And from that time on, he turned his talents over to the Lord. He was a Christian singer. I heard him as a kid at different times and used to have some old albums of his. And he mentions on there about a sense of humor. And he said, fellas, sometimes when you're shaving, look in the mirror. You'll laugh like crazy. He said, God has a sense of humor. Look at the kangaroo. Built-in offering plate. It's good to have a sense of humor, a positive atmosphere of encouragement. This is the total compliment to her husband. She graces his life with joy, with honor, with goodness, and with laughter. And she's a constant encouragement. It is so hard to endure the blows of life, the criticisms of life. The world is a harsh place. Ladies, here's one place that your man needs not to have a lot of criticism, and that's at home. Well, he faces the boss getting on him, others not doing what he says. If he's in supervision, it's a harsh world. And if he comes home to criticism and put downs, listen, that's a recipe for destruction. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. I can remember my mom when I was 12 years old. We were driving home from church one night. It had been a very stirring service. And God had moved upon the heart of a 12-year-old boy that night to commit my life to Christ, to serve Him. And there was a public response at the meeting. And we rode home that night. Everything was quiet in the car. It was just Mom and me. We're going over a hill in St. Petersburg, Florida, near the junior high school where I went. I still remember this. Mom didn't have the privilege of a lot of education, though she was extremely wise, but she didn't have the opportunity of a lot of education. So her grammar wasn't right on, but her message was. Here's what she said. She said, "Son, that was a manly thing you'd done tonight." I can remember that like it was last night. Words of encouragement. You are manly. Wow. Ladies, do that for your husband. Do that for your children. Do that for your grandchildren. Build them up. Build up your young men. Tell them when they do manly things. Praise them. I served with a man, the Air Force chaplaincy, and as a grown man, he told me with pain what he remembered when he was, I think, 12 or 13. He was playing Little League baseball in some tournament, and they won. And on the way home that night, his dad just pointed out his one blunder. "You missed that ball." They won. They had a great game. His dad focused on the one thing that he messed up. Those are destructive words. We can give those kind of death words, as Larry Crabb calls it, life words and death words. Ladies, wives, moms, give life words to all your children and to your husband. Give life words. And men, do the same for your wives and to your sons and daughters. Give life words to them. That was such a blessing to me when one of my boys said to me, "Dad, since I was 3 years old, you said, 'Come on, man, you can do it.' And you said, 'That's manly.' And I just felt so big when you said, 'You're a man, you can do it.' Or 'That's a manly thing,' something like that." He said, "That made me such a blessing." And he was reacting against someone who was saying, "You're not a man unless you've done this and this and this." He said, "No, that's the way I was raised as a little kid." That's what we need to do. That's being a compliment to your husband, to your children, and men, to your children, your grandchildren. Let's do that. Not make them ashamed, but make them glad. Now, just quickly, I want to survey some verses that show the opposite of this. Won't spend long on it, but look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 15 through 16. This is what we don't want, ladies. Here it is in the Word of God, Proverbs 27, verse 15. "A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." Have you ever had a nice sleepy morning and you listen and on your guttering or on your awning you hear this? And it's kind of soothing because it's the rain, you want to sleep. But when it's nagging, it's no fun. It's no fun. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are like, whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. In other words, it's futile. That's not the way to be. That doesn't lead anywhere. You say, well, my husband, you don't know what he is or what he does. That's probably true. Here's what you do instead of nagging him. Take the energy that you would use in nagging and take it to the Lord in prayer. God can do a better job than you working on him. Take it to the Lord and ask God to work on him, whatever the issue is. But don't nag. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. So here is someone moving out on the porch, on the roof. They had flat roofs in Bible times. Might even have, I understand, guest rooms there. So here he goes. He moves up to the guest room rather than face the nagging. That's not what God wants. Look at verse 19, Proverbs 21, 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And look at verse chapter 19 and verse 13 of Proverbs. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. And we're going to move on from there. Aren't you glad? I don't need to spend more time on that. But the Bible's very clear how to reach, how to get through when you feel like you're not being heard. The way is not through nagging, it's through prayer. Be a total compliment. Here's the fourth truth, the final one from Proverbs. A describable characteristic of an indescribably beautiful wife and woman. Proverbs chapter 31. Oh, this whole text deserves a lot of attention, but notice verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Men, it's more than what's on the external. Young men looking for a wife in marriage, start with inner beauty. You know why? Because charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. We are getting the wrong signals today. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting at all that, ladies, you don't do whatever you want to do to enhance your beauty that God has given you. But listen, the world's view of beauty is shallow. How many little girls think that they're not okay because they don't look like the perfect doll image that's presented on television or the toys, the Barbie dolls or whoever, and they think because their nose isn't just so or their ears or their teeth or something that they're not beautiful. Listen, that's a lie. Beauty is more than what's on the outside. And guess what? Beauty can be taken away in a moment. The example, the wonderful example of Ben and Joy Hetrick. They were engaged to be married and Ben is in this awful motorcycle accident. And Joy, his fiance, never gave up on him. Weeks and weeks at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. And finally he left to go into rehab. And to this day he is paralyzed. Their wedding was moved back, but they got married. He was a Marine Corps reservist. What a sharp Marine he was there in his wheelchair. He had to be discharged, obviously, because of his physical condition. But Joy was faithful to him and married him because it was more than just about the outside. In that case, more than him being macho or having a certain physique. There was a commitment there. Men, we love our wives because of who they are, not just because of how they look on the outside. And young people, young adults, all of us, don't buy into this shallow worldly view that you got to look a certain way or have a certain specification to all of your body in order to be attractive. The world's view is shallow and it's outward. instead of inward. This woman is a spiritual beauty. Don't get caught up into this trap. What did the Lord say? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. I had a life-changing mission trip in 1976 to Haiti. I thank God for it. And I was seeing a young lady at the time. I had a picture of her in my wallet. God gave me a wonderful, beautiful wife, but a wife with a passion for ministry, whose commitment was to Christ, to be a missionary. He gave me that wife, but before I met her, I had this young lady in my life, and there was a picture of her in my wallet. I made the mistake of taking it out and showing it to the missionary's wife. It wasn't a mistake. I'm so glad I did. She looked at that. You know what she said? Yeah, she's pretty. She won't make a good missionary. Now, don't get me wrong. She's not saying that missionaries are homely. That wasn't her point. And I was a little offended. I thought, well, how do you know? Here's this veteran missionary lady. Yeah, she's pretty. Won't make a good missionary. God used that because I found out that this relationship just didn't have a future. I knew God wanted me to serve Him, and I couldn't see this happening. This is a Christian young lady. She was a Christian, but she didn't have the passion. And so that relationship ended, and I met this little gal named Della. But before I did, I was reading in Psalm 27, and the Lord gave me Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." It wasn't long after that I saw this young lady going around the campus, Clearwater Christian College. I couldn't hardly get her to stop to talk to me. She was so busy about doing things. And finally, she was with this guy from her home church in Ohio. We became friends, prayer partners, this guy and I. And there was this event. I said, "I'd like to ask Della to this event, unless that would bother you." He said, "Yeah, that would bother me." I said, "Okay. I won't do that." And one day he came to me and said, "Hey, whatever Della and I have, we don't have anymore." So, and my heart jumped. And there was a Sadie Hawkins event coming up at the school where the girls asked the guys. And I prayed and asked the Lord that she would ask me to this thing. And she did. And that was November 5th, 1976, our first date. And we came together talking about the Lord and the things of God. And I saw someone doing just what another missionary had told me. Look, you set your heart on serving the Lord, and God will bring along your side someone going the same direction. And He did that. A spiritual beauty. Now, it's wonderful to compliment yourself. I'm not taking anything against beautiful clothes, makeup, all of that. But listen, the emphasis on the inner beauty. That's the emphasis. The world's view of beauty is shallow. It's outward. Her source of beauty is deep. It's within the soul. Her source of beauty is from a proper relationship and awe of the Lord. Notice Proverbs 31:31. Give her, or the last part of verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord. She shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her source of beauty is from a proper relationship with the Lord, a proper awe of the Lord, and she will be praised in God's time. Ladies, I encourage you to be a woman of indescribable beauty. Have these describable characteristics. Understand you're a gift from God to your husband. Be a builder of your household. Be a total compliment to your husband, to your sons and daughters, and be a spiritual beauty. You say, how do I do that? Spend time with God. Amen. First of all, you have to know Jesus. How do you know Him? Admit your sinfulness before God. God, I've sinned. I believe Jesus died on the cross, that He rose again. I'm calling on You to save me. If you will trust in Christ, you will be saved for all eternity. That's the first step of knowing Jesus. And then you spend time alone with the Lord. You get the Bible, open it up, ask God to speak to you and pray. And begin to walk with God. It will be a spiritual beauty. Something indescribably beautiful about a woman who is in submission to the will and plan of God, who knows God and earnestly desires to please Him. And moms, ladies, that's my prayer for you, that you will be that woman.
Amen.
Let's bow together in prayer. If you're here today, a man or a woman, a boy or girl, a mom or a dad, and you've not trusted Christ to save you, we invite you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The invitation is always open. I invite you to, right where you sit, acknowledge your sin to God and say, God, I know I've sinned, but I believe Jesus died and was risen from the dead, and I'm calling on you, Lord, to forgive my sins, to give me eternal life. The Bible says you will be saved. If you have done that today, before you leave, will you please speak to me? I would love to share with you assurance from the Word of God and give you some tips to begin to grow in the Christian life. Moms, do you have a special need in your life? Will you be what God wants you to be from the Word of God? That's our prayer for you today. Our Father, we thank you so much for your truth and your Word. It meets us where we are. It tells us things we want to hear, and it tells us things we don't want to hear. And Lord, in a culture of confusion over all of these issues, we pray for clarity from the Word of God. And we pray for willingness to follow what your word has said. I pray your rich blessing on each mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. I pray for grace to endure each day. I pray for grace through the trials. I pray for encouragement in hard times. I pray, Lord, that each woman would be a woman of God, indescribably beautiful because she's seeking after you. She's building that relationship with Christ. Make your word real to each one of us, Lord, we pray. And I pray that as men, we will support godly women. It will support our wives and our daughters. It will support the godly women right here at East End Baptist Church. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.